sound system. I find you in the shows and moving are great. And being a nerd, the sound system is everywhere you go.
Uno, dos, tres.
Jingle?
No jingle. Welcome back to the Design System Office Hours podcast. How are you, PJ?
I'm peachy. Living the dream. How about yourself?
Good. Very good. We have a good topic that you wanted to talk to me about today, or maybe I'll talk to you about this, file hygiene.
Yes, you're the expert in this, and I just want to bask in your wisdom.
Yeah, this goes back to the philosophy that we had at Disney, where there is one side of the isms versus PJ-isms, right? And going back to that, the PJ-isms is like a no-code effort, move fast. That was my perception. Pairing with engineers to create artifacts that are not necessarily set in stone, but are artifacts that could be thrown away. And the other side of this is, let's call it a Davyism, which are design artifacts that are more baked, very, very clean, very easily searchable, navigable, and something that we believe that any designer could come into and really hit the ground running. But the cost of those different methods is different. And the cost of maintaining your files and maintaining libraries is, I don't want to say it's tremendous, but it's something that needs to happen consistently over, an extended amount of time.
Yeah, I'll say it. It's tremendous. Depending on how you do it, but that's what we want to hear you talk about.
Yeah, and you had asked me I think last month about how we were keeping our files clean at Disney Streaming, and so certain methods. So just kind of diving into some practical tips and sort of like concepts, where it's the whole idea of that we wanted to leave our component libraries and any sort of artifact better for the next person. So we want to be able to leave this. I think I've once explained this like in a interview, in a job interview, similar to how engineers would want to leave their code. They want to leave it in as semantically clean as possible. And they want to be able to leave a file or a piece of code to a certain standard to however your org would work on it. So my point of view was we would want to leave a file in a manner that, PJ, if you were someone on another team that wanted to interact with our system, you would be able to open up a file and then be able to just read how the component is compiled. So that in Figma XD world now, it would be really trying to lean on how the properties are utilized, how the component is built from ground up, what are different component dependencies, and how it may interact possibly with different templates. And we've talked about this in the past about little hints. And if you had the luxury of having an infrastructure team or a design technologist building in extra functionality to speak to documentation, that is one thing that could be done. But then there's other things just in the file and leaving, lack of a better term, leaving breadcrumbs on how something may be used inside Figma. So that is a good thing to do.
Yeah. So digging in, what is your perspective on file hygiene for design, and where do you think it's most valuable, and how do you approach it?
Yeah, I used to think that files itself had to be super clean and had to be, for lack of a better term, intact and not detached. I think that my point of view on that has fluctuated a little bit more. I'm less concerned about having to detach components to use, because I'm a rational human being. I'm a rational maintainer of a system, and things do need to be detached to make them more flexible sometimes. Designers may not, as you noted, may not always be experts on how to manipulate something without detaching. So giving the flexibility to do that. But it's the utmost importance that we keep the libraries as clean as possible. So that's the standard. And I used to think that may have been something that was difficult to gate, and having a certain set of design system maintainers that manage and admin the files and the libraries themselves. But it seems through our journeys with just talking to folks or around the industry, it seems pretty standard that the design system team maintains the libraries. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I mean, what do I know? But I think that's a pretty commonly agreed upon principle.
I believe in my heart that if you have the right team to maintain this, and at Meta, we have the right team now. We had the right team at Disney Streaming. You could really set good best practices and really keep gate that and keep the integrity and the quality of the libraries intact. Now, we do want to make sure that any designer that is utilizing the components do solicit our advice when they try to create or detach a variant. So we would like designers to come talk to us in office hours and see if maybe we could even help them make something more flexible, or maybe we could help them spec out an interaction. So we believe that we could provide a little more guidance on possibly the documentation and the speccing out of the components in the file point of view. But I think my point of view on cleanliness of individual files may be a little more lax. Like certain things I think that helps a lot is making sure layers are right now. Figma allows you to do this now, which is like beautiful. It didn't allow us this 6 months ago, but top to bottom. So when I talk a little bit about the semantic layout of a file, being able to read a component top to bottom, I think is very important. And previously, even if it was bottom to top, you'd be able to predict where things stack. Making sure that layers and groups and frames and components are named properly. So any of this like frame 2797, I think that puts you in a bad spot. And if you were to give me a file that had that sort of thing, I would question the integrity of the file and the component itself. And there's lots of mechanisms to even rename things very quickly as well. So it really just goes towards the idea of like, it shows that with better file hygiene, there is better craft in that area. And that's something, luckily, that design system maintainers are very high on.
So not to get into any details, but this year, we've really tried to improve our Figma libraries. Man, they needed some love. You know, the one big takeaway from us is runaway debt. And if the best time to address those issues is yesterday, because the longer you wait, it just becomes progressively more difficult to get a hold on it and to get everything cleaned up and to make sense. So it's been an interesting journey for myself. It seems like we both kind of vacillated into the middle somewhere. If a design is disposable, meaning if you are designing a feature that you're going to be, that you're working with your product and engineering partners with, and then that gets shipped. Once that ships, the design oftentimes is, the value of it degrades pretty dramatically, depending on whether you're going to iterate on it again, or if you're going to start from scratch, or if anyone else is going to work on it. I think the thing where I've started to shift is if something's evergreen, if a lot of people are going to be touching it, now all of a sudden file hygiene is of the utmost importance. It's just, how do you do it in a way to where it doesn't take all of your time and effort just to name layers and reorder them? And that's a lot of work.
I mean, we're not doing this for free, right? So they are paying, our respective companies are paying us a decent amount, you know, to do this sort of shit, you know. So they don't call us a walk on the beach.
Totally. And I think the thing that I struggle with is there's never a shortage of things to do. Is that more valuable than the next thing? You know, writing documentation or providing support for teams or working on that next component. That's the thing I struggle with is I have a hard time calculating the value of naming every single layer. Are designers even going to be peering into components to look at the layer names? These are all not rhetorical questions. They are literal questions that I'm trying to figure out so that from a prioritization standpoint, how can we justify spending the time to name all the layers, to reorder all the layers, and, you know, thousands upon thousands of layers and elements within a library. It's, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah. So I think that's probably where automation comes in, right? So like some of the plugins that either are in the Figma community, we'll mention Figma because that's what we're using, in the community are made in-house. That could do a lot of this for you. So like batch renaming, batch organizing in terms of like XY coordinates. Like I don't want to be sent into a file that has a component over here on like, you know, XY00 and then something like 10,000 pixels away. They should be grouped in a logical manner so I could see where you're working. And the argument that our designers are going to have, and I know you'll see this from a different messaging, right? But Meta has a principle that's move fast. I hate it because moving fast means you may not be moving with intentionality. You may just be moving fast for the sake of, this is like our velocity discussion, right? This may just be the sake of moving fast to get something out the door, just to throw something on a wall for an experiment. But designers are going to say, oh, if I'm moving fast, doing all of this work to work clean and work in a very more rigid manner is going to slow me down, PJ. It's going to slow me down, Davey. Why are we doing this? Well, we're doing this because we're designing patterns that we're looking to utilize across feature areas and across product teams. And your file may be a file, but as we see in web apps, there really isn't Figma files. There's no tangible file. It's a deliverable that should be accessible by anybody within your team. So whatever you're designing, someone else is going to touch it. And this isn't in a bad sort of like a point of view. This isn't someone's going to come in and fix what you're doing, but someone's going to most likely reference what you're doing, riff on it, or maybe just utilize it one to one. And if you leave it in a bad spot, there's going to be room for interpretation.
And I think that's, to me, that's the delineation. Is an evergreen file, I'm using air quotes, is an evergreen property that other people are going to use or not? If not, is it worth it? I'd argue it's worth at least questioning. If it is evergreen and other people are going to look at it, then yeah, probably, especially given the remote world. You can't just go over to a desk and say, hey, what the hell is going on here? Then it probably more so is valuable because this person could be theoretically parsing through it on their own with zero context. And unless you want them having to Slack various people, you want to get them up to speed as quickly as possible. So that, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, you did bring up a good tidbit that I wanted to dive into. I think there is a difference between designing and maintaining screens versus maintaining templates. We had some pretty good success most recently for Disney Plus and Star Plus maintaining templates and maintaining the integrity of templates that are to be reused across different feature areas. So an example would be like a details template or like a product detail page. That's going to be reused somewhere else down the line. It isn't in engineering's best interest for them to recreate a product detail page when you've probably created and tested and validated this numerous times. So if we maintain the integrity of the template and maintain that this is our best guess for where we left off, I think that's a good point of view. You don't need to maintain all the different hundreds of variations of this.
Well, and if it's reusable, right? That's your best opportunity to, I can talk. It's been a long day. That's your best opportunity to circumvent compounding debt. So you have debt in that one file. Someone copies it over. Now that's your baseline. You're already starting from a bad place. And it's probably going to go downhill from there, to be honest. So like you have an opportunity to really, have folks start at a good place and circumvent a lot of debt by having those reusable templates, those starting points be solid. And so that's kind of been my evolving point of view is focus your energy there, because trying to fix everything is costly. But if you can fix the starting point, that hopefully will mitigate a lot of these issues.
Yeah, but you brought up a good talking point about levers, right? And do we want to put all our eggs into cleaning this stuff up, or do we want to put our time on documentation or community or some other thing. And it's, I don't believe it's an all or nothing sort of thing. It's, if you go back to a previous episode about releases and like release model and versioning, you could do a bit now for this half. And then, you know, you could couple this with some documentation updates that you do for this half, see where it goes and see if there's an appetite for doing this. Or maybe, you know, you just got a hotshot design technologist and they're eager to help designers solve this pain point, work with them, maybe pilot some of those things and see if it, you know, it's a reduction in design clicks and design level effort. Because I think at the end of the day, the file hygiene question and the pain point is that it takes time, right? But creating documentation also does take time. But that's not when you're thinking about documentation and not creating it, that is like a less of an argument, I feel like. It's about trying to create what is like the table stakes and like the quality metrics for your system.
Oh, totally. You can absolutely phase it. I think the challenge though, from a prioritization standpoint, is you only have so many beans in the jar. Are you going to work on this or are you going to work on that? And Figma, while great, is servicing, for the most part, it's servicing one segment of the population, which is designers. Now,
one large segment, right?
Well, depend. Like typically ratios, engineers are, there's a lot more engineers than designers. You can argue, understandably so, that engineers are consuming those designs to implement. So if it's improving the implementation, then that makes a strong case. But still, so you know, let's I'm throwing numbers out just to be simple. Let's say your ratio is 10 to 1, 10 engineers to one designer. From a consumer base. So then theoretically you're putting your effort into less than 10% of the overall consumer base. Whereas theoretically documentation, if everyone is consuming it, you're working on things that have the broadest use. It doesn't mean it isn't important. It's just, how do you balance all these things? And you're probably not going to be able to do perfection on anything, which goes back to, where can I focus the most amount of benefit for designers on file hygiene? If we can't fix everything, which is rarely the case because you're balancing resources, what is the most critical thing to focus on from a file hygiene standpoint? And I think that would be my question for you. From your perspective, of all the issues related to file hygiene, what would be the most important thing to improve, to aid in clarity and reusability?
Probably try to simplify the components as much as you can. So one issue that we've seen is over nesting of components. So designers may say, I don't know how to modify this icon. I don't know how to change the instance of this icon. And the tools you've been evolving to allow you to surface that. So Figma knows that designers have an issue digging into the layer that the icon swap is happening. So there's, I think, new feature functionality to be able to do that. But there's other parts of that that is confusing as well. Like, I don't know which, and I think that this is to the bane of PJ's existence. It's like, I don't know which frame to manipulate to make this auto layout work if there's 15 frames, right? So there's different, I think there's different mechanisms that we've piloted, was like maybe using like a pencil emoji or some arrow emoji to showcase that this is the frame that you want to modify to do this thing. When I say like leaving breadcrumbs, the idea I think of elevating props and elevating that type of vernacular and tying it more to code, I think having documentation, not only in your documentation site, but alongside in Figma, maybe in like another frame to show these are the dials and these are the levers to pull to make it do this thing. And then showing examples of that, I think is also very useful. The naming stuff, I would just hope that the component libraries are intact. And I hope that anything that's delivered or paired with engineering on is super semantic and readable and easy to comprehend and leaves no room for ambiguity. And I think that's probably in the perfect scenario. What I'm trying to alleviate is folks coming back to us and asking us, oh, is this as intended? And then posting, is it supposed to be this hex color or this other hex color? Is this supposed to be this component or that component? There should be little ambiguity in that when we're referencing properties and components and templates that already exist.
100%. Yeah. But keeping those things in sync is so damn hard, man. Even the, you know, from a props perspective. So, all right. So you got your React components or whatever, framework du jour, and then you got your Figma components. Just keeping those in sync is a Herculean effort to coordinate all those naming conventions and you know, you rename a prop, you got to make sure to dot your I's, cross your T's to make sure that it carries over on the design side. Oops, breaking change. Why did you do this? Broke all our files. It's just, yeah, it's a lot, man. And it definitely requires someone with two hands on the wheel at all times. Which is also tough, right? Like, you know, how do you hire for that? Do you hire a production designer? Do you hire a product designer? Does the whole team work on it? If so, how do you make sure that there's a singular point of view across all the components and they aren't all kind of doing their own thing in their own special way? It's tough. It's real tough.
Yeah. I was trying to think of like, analogies to pull, and let's take it back. Let's take it back to the aughts when I used to work in publishing, and art director was super critical on making sure that, you know, at that time InDesign, right. Our InDesign files were Pika perfect. Let's use that. Let's take it back even further. It's perfect. It snaps to the grid. Things need to make sure that it aligns to not only a column-based grid, but a horizontal grid. And there is, from a magazine point of view, like, let's just think about like the tangible part of this. Like if you're flipping through a magazine and you see that a page number shifts, you're wondering like who the fuck worked on this thing where this page, like this is a template. These things are simple. So I think it goes back to that for me. And I think there was a time when I was designing things, I would make sure that not only everything was named properly, that everything would snap to each other too. And that I would go as far as in publishing, you would just go and either snap it to pikas or snap it to like points. Like you just snap it to wherever you know is like an increment of where you should be snapping to. So, I'm glad I my mind finally got here to think about this, but spacing I think is a big file hygiene issue as well. Like most design systems should have a point of view on what spacing increment they're using. So 4 pixels is a pretty common one. So what happens if someone tries to say I want something that's 25? I'm on a 5 pixel grid now. PJ, what do you think?
What do I think? I think. Good luck. I think that's the challenge, right? Is that the eternal challenge is that those decisions in isolation can totally work. The problem is that as those individual decisions get mixed up with a diverse portfolio of other individual decisions, frequent byproduct is design debt, tech debt, a reduction in consistency, which oftentimes leads to a reduction in predictability, which oftentimes leads to a reduction in comprehension. In isolation, that five pixel, you know, unit, whatever, but compounded across all the decisions that aren't 5 pixels, you know, a different color here, a different interaction choice there, those things take off exponentially. And the next thing you know, you're trying to figure out how to get yourself out of this hole because there's so much of it because of this individual decision here, this individual decision there. And trying to get out of that hole can be an overwhelming effort, right? It can feel like it's unbearable. And so that's where those constraints, as frustrating as they can seem, as, you know, as limiting as they can seem, are the guardrails to avoid debt. And from my perspective, debt is the thing that should be avoided at all costs, because there's a crossing point to where it becomes detrimental to velocity, detrimental to product quality. And then all of a sudden you're asking yourselves, why can't we ship anything? And then it's oftentimes, it's never too late, but then it's a real conversation and some real dollar signs to get yourself out of that.
Yeah. I think we may have been successful initially for Disney Plus because we were rigid from the beginning. So we had a certain way of naming our files, and, you know, naming files and naming artboards and frames. I think that's another point of discussion. I'm not as much of an advocate for that anymore, but component naming, token naming, I think that's a very hot topic, but having a point of view and being consistent on it. So if your team does, camel case, use camel case and be consistent. If you're using title case, be consistent about that. And then making sure I'm just looking at the component architecture list that I had shared with you. I think there's little hints on things just to clean up work a little bit better. So like there's a lot of screenshotting, I think, when people are working fast. So if you screenshot something that was intended to be an avatar, just change the name to avatar. So if I'm reading the left-hand panel, I could see that's where it is. I don't want to see screenshot 2022, screenshot 2023. I don't want to see that sort of thing. Like make it easier for the next person to consume this. And
yeah,
no, I think also part of this is getting in the habit of like just having a friend, having a colleague proof the work too. So branching, I think, has been very good on this. But then even commenting your work and having someone come in to take a cursory look, I think has helped a lot.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to mention, is that, you know, if you don't have time for that, the other way to go about it is just put your name on it and say, hey, you got questions? I'm the person to answer it, right? And so at the very least, they have someone that they can go to. You know, I guess you can browse through file history, the version history, and see who made the updates. But just being a point of contact that can answer questions is another way to circumvent some of those challenges, because we've all been there, right? We've looked at a file and just, what is going on? No idea where to even start. And that's the same with code. But typically there's a little bit more structure and process and gating. You know, there's oftentimes PR reviews and things of that nature that can avoid the big, big issues. But we're getting there with design, but not quite there.
Yeah, the rigor with engineering is, I'd say, higher than I think, larger than the appetite of, you know, most designers. Most designers do not want to subscribe to the rigor that engineering has. So designers in the past are more reluctant to have branch reviews or have other designers view their work. Designers seem like they need to push the boundaries of when they show design system folks to elicit feedback. And I think the hard thing to comprehend is it's not always that design system folks are here to govern and approve or not approve. We're really here to try to provide best practices and guidance to build things that are more reusable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think every designer, and including design, especially design system designers, should be held to the same standards that engineers are, to where there's a review process. Someone's taking a look at it. Someone's ensuring that folks are bought in. What's the worst that can happen? You get some feedback you don't agree with, right? You have to justify your decisions. I don't know. Doesn't seem too rough. At the very least, it'll fortify your thinking and get you to reinforce how you're thinking about it and the argument for the solution. Worst case scenario, you, in a good way, you make it better. You take that feedback and you improve upon it.
Yeah, I think this was a great conversation on file hygiene. I think that there's another topic about naming. I think like it'd probably take up a whole 30 minutes. So we're at 30 minutes. Thank you so much, PJ.
Thank you. That was a good one.